Are you not entertained? The title for my sermon this morning, Are You Not Entertained?, comes from a quote that maybe from a movie that you may have seen, maybe not, a 2000 movie, Russell Crowe, from the Gladiator movie. He was put in an arena to be killed for the amusement of spectators until he became the only survivor and used that line to address the crowd. This past week, I was brought in on a religious discussion with a question because one of the people that I work with knew that I would know the answer. But one of the guys in the room later on in the discussion made the comment that he doesn't go to church because it's boring. That comment rubs me the wrong way every time I hear it. And I hear it quite often. We live in a time, and many of us grew up in a time, where being entertained has a high priority. You go somewhere and you expect to be entertained. If you get up and put the effort forth to go someplace, you expect to be entertained. Church services aren't made for us. They're not made for us to be entertained. Hopefully edified. They are made for us to give praises to God. If we aren't here, are we sick? Or did we find something that we deemed more important to do in place of worshiping? How will we account for those things when God asks us what we were doing? You might get away with lying to another brother or an elder if they ask, where were you? But God, you can't get it past him. He knows exactly what you were doing because he saw you. And he knows what heart was inside of you when you were doing those things and choosing those things instead of choosing to be here. You can't get it past him. Is there anything inherently wrong with entertainment? No. We all have things that we enjoy doing or watching or being a part of. But it can't be more important than serving God, though. Our church meetings usually have an entertainment where we can socialize with other Christians and different activities. To be honest, when I was a teenager, I was looking first at what the entertainment at the meetings was going to be, because I wanted to find out what we were going to be doing. And I remember going to these entertainment things and seeing others my age who would show up for the entertainment, but they weren't there for the meeting. It did bother me to see that happen. None of those people are still in the church today. If entertainment is what you seek, then that's what you're going to go after. Luke 6:45 A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Are you happy to be here today? Or are you thinking about what else you could be doing if you weren't here? Are you bored? What are you bringing to the service besides your body sitting on a pew? 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it, brethren? Whenever we come together, each of you has a psalm, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Do you have to be put on the program to bring something? How about the effort you brought to singing praises to God today? How was that? Were you singing the words, but your mind was someplace else? Were you even singing at all? Did you contemplate Christ's death this morning? Or were you just nibbling on bread and sipping a cup, thinking about other things, waiting for the next thing on the church list to come up? I've had days where I could say that was the case for me. We are all capable of having something to give, and we should every time we come here. The world says, forget about God. What is it that you want to do? What is it that makes you happy? Go for that. Do what makes you happy. If we go to Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done, being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They devoted themselves to the word and fellowship, and they broke bread in each other's homes. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Do we do that? Are we excited? Are we excited about what we're doing here? Romans 7, verses 15 through 20. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do it, but sin that dwells, so now it is no longer though I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I want I do not want. It's what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul understood what we go through, and he went through the struggle of temptation as well. Sometimes it will be harder for us to focus on what God wants from us than others. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 4 through 12. Who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes the seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still young, still with you, I told you in these things, and you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in this time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawlessness one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends to them a strong delusion that they might believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Some refuse to listen to the truth. The things of the world, they want us to partake in with them, are not good. When we don't join in on their activities, the people out in the world despise us because we won't do what they ask us to do. We won't partake in those things that they want us to do. Maybe it's because their own guilt that they're fighting by seeing us try to do what is right. It makes them feel guilty, and that's why they don't like us. Second Timothy 3, 1 through 9. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those that creep into the households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far. For their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. But mark this, that there will be terrible times in the last days. There's terrible times going on right now. This world is pretty terrible in the way they act and conduct themselves. they love themselves and love what they want to do. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Don't worry about what God thinks. Do what makes you happy. Because that's what they're doing. They don't want to do it by themselves. They don't want people around that are going to tell them they do something wrong and remind them that what they're doing is going to lead to eternal punishment. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we fear God, we know what He can do to us. We know where He can put us for punishment. There is no way out of it unless we follow Him and do what He asks us to. We don't get a choice. Just because we don't want to be punished doesn't mean that we're going to be able to get away with it. I'm sure a lot of the people that are going to prison don't want to suffer or be in prison, but it doesn't get them out of serving that punishment because they don't want to be. It just doesn't work that way. There are churches that bring in different activities because they want to get their attendance numbers up. I even read of one church who brings in clowns, and it showed a picture of a whole pew full of clowns singing with their songbooks open. Now, most people, I think, find clowns terrifying, but somebody thought that they were entertaining and would bring in a crowd. They bring in magic acts, bring in bands. The idea of bringing more people into the service, that's a nice thought, but what are they there for? Are they there to be entertained? Or are they there to worship? God's not fooled by whatever ideas man has to come up with to get people there. He sees right through all of it and sees the heart. Is the heart there? Is your heart in it? If an athlete gives forth a half-hearted effort in a contest, are they going to win? Probably not. If we're given a half-hearted effort in serving God, is it going to be pleasing to Him? If we're waiting to be entertained, then we're waiting for the wrong thing. We should have came ready. Ready to serve. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 5-9. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will toward the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whether it is a bondservant or is free, masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening. knowing that he who is both their master and yours and is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. We need to have passion for the truth and be slaves for Christ, not looking at ourselves as being above another because of who they are or what they appear, what their appearance is, because our God is the same God that they have, and we should all be servants to God and to Christ. We're not above each other. It should be exciting to serve God. Have you ever gotten something, a gift for somebody, and you go to present that gift to that person, and you're just sure that that person would like that gift? And then when you present that, and their reaction is like, oh, not too excited about their gift. Kind of bummed out. How does God look at what you presented him with this morning? Is he kind of bummed? Is he disappointed? Revelations 4, verse 5 through 11. From the throne came flashes of lightnings and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, and before the throne there was as it was a sea of glass like crystal, and around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and in behind, and the first living creature like a lion, and the second living creature like an ox, and the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like the eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and the day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art thou, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriad of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, all of them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Never ceasing to praise God. That is how we should be trending. If we go to Psalms, verses 3 through 8. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate all the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Who are we putting before us? Who are we listening to? Are we devoting ourselves to the people of the world, becoming a part of them rather than telling them what they need to do and be saved? Are we more worried about fitting in with the world? When we serve others, it feels good. The reason is we were created to serve. That's why it feels good. We were put here to show that we could put aside the world and serve God when we have every opportunity to turn away from Him, but we still don't quit. That's what He wants. What can show more love than that? To love Him when we have every opportunity not to, and are surrounded by people that don't want to. Cain gave us God a sacrifice of convenience for him. Is your sacrifice one of convenience or one of devotion? Are you passionate to serve or passive about serving? Could you care less? If you realize that you have been lacking in your passion, turn it around. If you want to be devoted to God and serving Him, and you haven't devoted yourself to serving Him, and you haven't been baptized and become a part of the church, you have an opportunity to do that or bring forth anything that you need the church's help on as we stand and sing our invitation song.